With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Welcome to the Arts Africa Show on Africa Global Radio, streaming to the whole wide world from our base here in Accra, Ghana. Now, don't worry feeling sorry for us that we're working while the rest of you are enjoying the day with your loved ones, eating good food and chilling. We are here to serve. And as usual, we're going to have fun and spend some time with another amazing guest because, you know, Arts Africa is all about African excellence. Now, this week, our guest is Denta Amwating, MBE. Now, that is the member of the British Empire Order, something I'm sure I've got the order of it right. But, you know, it's an award that is given to you by the Queen. Anyway, she's and the Queen of England who gives these out. She is a bridge builder between the African diaspora and the continent. She is the founder of the Guba Awards, and that is the Ghana UK based Achievement Awards. It's a non-profit organization that focuses on enriching the African community in the diaspora and on the continent. It celebrates the achievements of individuals and organizations positively contributing to the Ghanaian community in the UK and here in Ghana. And as if that were not enough, she's also an entrepreneur. She's a philanthropist, an activist, an actress, a TV host, singer and producer, and of course, the recipient of many, many prestigious awards. Like the aforementioned member of the Order of the British Empire, MBE Award, and she got that in 2016 on the Queen's Birthday's Honours. Make sure you're checking us out on africaglobalradio.com, on Instagram and Twitter. We are at AF Global Radio, Facebook, africaglobalradio.com, and on WhatsApp, we are +233, Ghana code, 207064680. Arts Africa is brought to you by Africa Global Radio. Now, W93.5 FM, we see and we support you. For those who haven't had a chance to tune into W93.5 FM, they are our partner station in Wa in the Upper West region. So as I keep on saying, if you can catch the signal, try it out and you'll find that your dial is stuck there. Now, before we start the show proper, I want to wish my baby sister, Loretta, a very happy birthday today. She's born on Christmas Day. So you can imagine, like, as children, her birthday and Christmas is like everything wrapped into one, whereas the rest of us would get presents on our birthday and presents on Christmas Day. She just gets it on the one day. But it's a special day to be born on. So happy birthday, Loretta. Now, as you know, Christmas, you know, we get into Christmas and it's all, you know, this beautiful songs and Mariah Carey's doing her thing. And, you know, we hear the songs all the time. But, you know, also in Ghana, we also have one. And it is by Adjoa Pat. And it is Afishiapa. And that is our Christmas song to kick off our Christmas show. Enjoy.
Shabbat,
I bet you were all jamming there because that is a really beautiful Christmas song and it's just so Ghanaian, but it was just like a nice groove. We started perfect. My tech here was there jamming like, yeah, this is the jam for today. We really enjoyed that. So I hope you enjoyed that too. Before our guest joins us, let's find out what we have on Africa Global Radio during the week.
Karibu, Saubona, Ekabo, Sanunku. Hello and welcome to the Africa Daily Show on Africa Global Radio, a daily magazine program that highlights happenings in Africa and the diaspora. On this show, we bring you positive news across the African continent, newspaper headlines across Africa, and trends on social media with Epifania Jokotogligui. Good news.
For today's AGR good news, we have Uganda starts mass production of its first smartphone.
Today we remember a segment that revisits significant days in global African history. Interesting facts about Africa on the Did You Know segment.
Did you know
DR Congo is the largest producer of cobalt in the world?
Individuals and groups who are contributing to the progress of Africa on African Champions.
African Champions.
And so Paris Bosire is our African champion for today.
And what's on and what's new? I, Mami Aba Amwaminta, presents what's happening in the world of events, conferences, trade fairs, the latest in music, books, films, fashion, arts, theater, and the newest trends.
What's new?
So you're a fan of music?
I am actually.
And you know Davido?
Oh yeah, even in my sleep.
So yeah. His A Good Time album has hit 1 billion streams on all platforms worldwide.
Wow.
This and much more great music across Africa and the diaspora.
Join us on Monday to Friday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. GMT.
On Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
Okay, so that is what we have during the week on Africa Global Radio. Now, my guest has just joined me in the studio and welcome. Do I call you Lady Dentin Amwating? Okay. I like that. She says, oh, that's fine. How has your week been?
it's the start of the week now. So, but last week was good. I was in Miami for a few days to interview a young Ghanaian diaspora, Mary Spio, who has a product called Seek.
Okay.
It's a virtual reality platform that she has, and she has these amazing Seek headphones, and she's also come out of her cryptocurrency called Seek Coin. Yeah, so we just had a really good conversation about, you know, her transitioning from, you know, Ghana as a young girl to America, and what she's been able to achieve. So yeah, wow. a lovely week.
Okay, yeah. And what about Christmas? What do you do at Christmas?
So Christmas, my mum and my eldest son just arrived yesterday from the UK. So we usually have a family time. So my mum cooks everything.
Oh, nice.
Leave everything to her.
Well, so what, is she cooking Ghanaian or she's doing a traditional British something?
No, so when we're in Ghana, it's all Ghana.
Okay, okay.
Yes, all Ghana. So she'll do the jollof rice, Glotalapia, Banku, Okra stew, the body and contemporary, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay, nice.
But when we are in the UK and having Christmas there, then it'll be the turkey, and the potatoes,
and the stuffing, like, and the cranberry sauce. My mum loves all that.
If she had her own way, she'll probably do that, but
it's like when you're in Ghana, you know, what I do at Christmas, every year I have a theme.
Oh, okay.
And so, we can have like a Brazilian theme and everything will be Brazilian food. We invite friends round and you come with a song, a story or a joke. And that is your contribution to the Christmas event.
Nice.
So people can, you can come and spend a few hours and go and come back because it's just an all day thing and just people trooping in and out.
Oh, that's nice. So that's nice. We play a lot of games.
But Christmas games, all those dusty game boards, you know, come out,
you know, the chess comes out, everything comes out, you know. It's good family time.
Okay, yeah, of course, because I mean that's the time when you all get together and you have to leave your busy somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, and pay attention to the folks, because after New Year you're off doing
off. Again,
you know, off. Okay, so your MBE, this for me is very fascinating. For our viewers who don't know, because obviously in the UK a lot of people know what is an MBE, how do you receive one, and then obviously is at the Queen's Honours, but then, you know, what's the day like, I mean, around this whole MBE stuff?
I think in 2016, around April, I think, I got a letter to say that, you know, I'm being awarded by the Queen on the 90th birthday for the work that I've been doing between Africa and the diaspora in the UK. And first of all, me, where did they find my name from?
Yes, I mean, were you, did somebody...
So you never know who, if somebody nominates you or...
You just come on their radar and they just...
come on their radar. I think they do their research and then they award you. So then you have to pick where you want the award, whether it Windsor, Buckingham Palace. I chose Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
And that was in October. Yeah, I think I collected mine in October. You pick the time that you want. So they give you like... when they're going to be doing it, days that they're going to be doing it, and you pick which one.
I thought it was like a big event where they'll just bring you all to a garden party and then start, you know.
No, so there's a few
Stent of you. Martin. You curtsy and
so, you know, there's a lot of people that they honour. They bring out quite a big list. So on my day, actually, I had Edward and Info, who's the editor for Vogue. So he was receiving his OBE. Naomi Campbell was there, was his guest. So I got to meet Naomi Campbell.
Dear.
But I know. so that was really exciting.
Like, it's like you nearly forgot about the award. Exactly. You're like, oh, Naomi Campbell.
And I had been reading about Edward, you know, all the amazing stuff that he's been able to achieve as a black person, as an African, as a Ghanaian. And I was so blown away that, you know, we both received it on the same day. He was an OBE. But yes, member of the most excellent order of the British Empire.
Oh, that sounds a bit sketchy when you're in British Empire.
I know.
It's like, ooh.
So...
Which is, know, luckily it's dwindling now since Barbados has said, yeah, on your bike.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, that was, for me, it was just like it was a great honour.
Yeah.
Like, for, you know, the Queen to...
honor you. Yeah.
But yeah, it was an amazing day. Super quick. So you go in, you're not allowed to take any pictures inside.
Do they take your phone? They take your phone from you? I'm sure they would.
Yeah, they take everything. And then they take the pictures and then you have to basically buy it.
Not even give us your WhatsApp, we'll send you.
No. You have to buy the pictures. If you want the videos, that's another cost as well.
Oh, wow. So she's cashing in on this.
Oh, yeah. And you definitely want your pictures.
Of course, yeah.
So, yeah, they go in and they give you the award. I had Princess Anne.
I like her.
Yeah,
I really like her. She's like a no-nonsense, get-on-with-it lady. Yeah.
So she was like, you know, I was wearing my kente. She was like, oh, you look fabulous. And then, where's your outfit from? I was like, oh, Ghana. She's like, oh, I love Ghana. I was in Ghana. So we had a good, like, 2 minutes chit chat, and then I was like, when are you coming back? She's like, oh, I'm planning on coming back soon, actually. So I was like, yeah, we'll be waiting for you in Ghana. And then, yeah, they take the pictures whilst you're having the conversation, and then that's it. You basically, you come out and your family's all sitting, so it's like a theater setting, so your families are all sitting on the sides, and you know, you guys are in the middle. And then they call your name, you walk up, she gives it to you, you have a little chit-chat, and then...
So what is it? Is it like...
No, it's just a medal, it's a small medal.
It's a medal.
And then you get like a... There's like a booklet as well, so they post you out a booklet, which gives you like discounts at different places, like you can... Church of England, you can have access to do an event, like loads of different...
Okay,
different,
so like
stuff.
Perks.
Yeah, loads of different perks. It's like a big book. That goes with it, of different.
Have you used any of your stuff?
Not yet, haven't.
But it's like forever, basically.
Yeah, it's forever, whenever it is that you
whenever
want to.
It is. Yeah. Nice. I mean, it's amazing because, like, most of the time you hear some people who they get awarded and then they refuse it because of, you know, sort of political reasons and stuff like that. But it must be an awesome day to just go, you know,
Queen. And... No, it was lovely. It was a very, and I always wanted to go inside Buckingham Palace.
Because we're always walking outside, aren't we?
So it was nice. There was plenty of nice gold, you know, inside.
You were looking, you were like, and that's from my country.
But yeah, it's gorgeous inside.
I can imagine.
That was amazing.
Well, I'm sure like any location they do it at must look, but yeah, Buckingham absolutely. Palace is like...
the top.
Yeah.
My mum went with my mum, my children.
Is she crying tears of joy?
They were all happy. I think just being there was really...
And then also to have your work recognized at that level as well is like really, really incredible. Because like you were just sitting or somewhere doing your something. And then all of a sudden, it's like Queenie wants to.
And I keep saying to young entrepreneurs and young people out there that you don't know who's watching you.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you're always doing the right thing and being consistent in doing it. Because, you know, there's so many people that are looking at you thinking, this girl's doing really, really well.
Let's just keep an eye on her. You know, and then
look at your journey and see how much you're growing. And then one day... get to have that honor.
So how long had you been doing before they said,
you know, I started it was like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, and I always, like, growing up when I heard OBE, MBE, sirs and dames and all of that, for me it was like 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, you know. I didn't, as a young person, I didn't really...
You like felt like you had to put in like 40 decades before you would get a chance.
So it was a great honor.
Definitely. Well, you brought a song.
Mm-hmm.
Why this song?
Yinaye is praise God. It's, you know, I'm very focused when it comes to my Christianity, uh-huh. and meditating, and just uh-huh. I love singing and uh-huh. praising God.
Uh-huh.
Even when you can't pray, you feel like you can't pray. I think.
Yeah, you just
singing, just even
tells
God what you are asking Him.
Yeah.
So I believe in
Perfect. And I were talking about this earlier. It's like I have there are 4 songs that I have to listen to every morning before
it starts
my day for me.
Absolutely. And you know, so it's a prayer song. It's like, you know, yeah, thank Him, you know, uh-huh. even when it's not a good day, just keep thanking Him.
Yeah,
you know,
so let's have a listen to that, and then we are going to get into our interview, or our conversation, should sure. I say, proper.
Good. I'm just
Okay, people, you felt that, we felt that. Who is Denta Amwating MBE?
Denta Amwating MBE is a young girl that grew up in Ghana, Jaso, mm-hmm. Asante Achim, mm-hmm. left for the UK when I was 5.
Okay.
Is a mother of 4, an entrepreneur, socialpreneur, philanthropist.
Philanthropist?
And, yeah, philanthropist. Always that word always gets me all the time. That and another word.
I like the way you went, yeah, and you just went and did it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You got it, right? You got what I meant. So, yeah. And then someone that just loves the continent, loves Ghana, loves Africa.
Growing up as a teen, what were your aspirations? What were your dreams? What did you see yourself doing?
So growing up, I actually thought I was going to be a singer, uh-huh. And an actress.
Okay. And inspired by?
I guess growing up in church, like that's why I love gospel music so much, mm-hmm. Is that I loved the choir singing. I always saw myself like just singing on stage. And I did do a testimonial album, a gospel album, you know, but my dad was always like the normal Ghanaian or African, dad, doctor, lawyer,
engineer,
that kind of thing.
Take your pick.
Yeah, that's basically what he said. Which one do you want to do?
Yeah.
And at the time I loved children. And so he was like, what about doing, you know, pediatric nursing? Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then, so I went to uni, but at the time when at college, I was doing performing arts, media, mm-hmm. And sociology. So for uni, I chose, pediatric nursing as a degree, mm-hmm. And I qualified at the age of 21, and I was working in central London, North London, Camden, Royal Free Hospital, mm-hmm. Where, you know, I loved what I do. And even, you know, till now, the last time I worked as a nurse was June COVID 2020.
That's recent.
When the lockdown happened, and my hospital, which I keep, we're just like very, very close still. The management team and some of the staff are still there. They're like, we're really short, we need you. I was like, yeah, why not? You know, it's something that I loved, and I still love. So
and it's very British, all hands on deck.
All hands on deck. Yeah. And you know, we went and we helped out as much as possible. So I am an all-rounder. Mm-hmm. I love sport. I was managing one of the biggest football stars in Ghana, Samuel Jan, captain of the Black Stars.
Okay.
I'm part of the Asante Kotoko Football Club. I'm the head of Diaspora and International Relations. And, yeah, that's Denta in a nutshell.
Wow. So then, what is Guba?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you feel it was needed? And you're a pediatric nurse. You're doing other things as well. But where's the bridge to Guba?
Okay. So Guba is Grow, Unite, Build Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Started off in the UK honouring Ghanaians and Africans that were doing well in our community. It came about sitting in my living room with my husband and just kind of seeing amazing Black people on the screen, and there was no platform to celebrate mm-hmm. our own. And so we thought that, you know, let's start something. Called up a couple of friends that I knew that did marketing, administration, PR, events. And I said, guys, what do you think? They're like, yes, let's do this. This was in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out looking for sponsorship, couldn't get, you know, enough sponsorship. So I sold my car to be able to do the awards. And it, for me, it was the game changer.
Mm-hmm.
We were sold out 3 weeks before the event. And as an entrepreneur, as a, you know, somebody that's passionate about what you're doing, there will be a time where you have to sacrifice. And you have to ask yourself, how much are you willing to sacrifice to be able to get your dreams?
I don't even think it is, there will be a time when you have to,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
off the bat, you have to.
So I had to, you know, if I really wanted it to work, mm-hmm. this is what we had to do. We had to raise money. And we had confirmed so many amazing people. We had Osibisa there. We had Channel 4. We had BBC. We had so many incredible people.
And this was for the first event. Outing. Yeah.
We were Polchester Hall, I think it was, in central London, sold out 3 weeks to the event. And it was just an incredible evening of one, celebrating our own, and two, also networking.
And who were the people you honoured in the first awards?
Oh, gosh.
Or at least one person, you know, mention one of the people and the reason why they were selected.
Gosh.
Oh, there have been so many. It's like...
Yeah, that's 12 years ago. Let me... There was a six-year-old girl called Joy.
Uh-huh.
And she had written two books. That was on Amazon or somewhere, mm-hmm. whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, a six-year-old at that age to write books that out was inspiring. You know, the board and the judges, you know, when we did the research, but we were all blown away. And she attended, she received her award. And for me, that was one of the highlights of the first year.
Yeah.
And, you know, serves as an encouragement to other young people and even the parents to kind of encourage their children. Because for me, the parents were winners as well, you know, for enabling their child to be able to do that.
You have other parents say, look, you're 8. The six-year-old wrote a book, write a book, invent something.
Yeah,
you know?
So I think it served as a great encouragement
for that. Yeah. And also, as you said, also for the parents, because for parents to nurture their child.
Absolutely.
Ghanaian parents nurture their child that at 6 she's writing books. You know, as a parent, it can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why, you know, as I said, the parents were played a key role.
Mm-hmm.
And the message that we, you know, we're. Even though we're giving the child, we're also giving the parents.
Yes.
Because it was just incredible that they've supported their child in this way.
Yeah. Okay, so this year the Guba Awards were held for the first time in Ghana. How did it differ from being held in the UK?
Yeah.
You know, like two different environments. What were the similarities and what were the differences?
Absolutely. I think... You know, the last one that we did before Ghana was in the US. So we did it during the UN.
Okay, so every year you change?
Mm-mm. So in 2019, for our 10th year anniversary, we wanted to do something different. And actually, I think that's when actually the Grow, Unite, Build Africa was born. Because at first it was Ghana UK-based Achievement Awards. It was focused on Ghana, even though we awarded Africans under that as well, that were doing stuff in Ghana. And for us, we wanted to add our brothers and sisters
in the diaspora.
So that includes African Americans and all of that.
The Caribbean, all of that.
So that we are, what I wanted to do was to make sure that, you know, people in the diaspora, African Americans knew what people in Africa were doing. And Africans knew that what, you know, people in the diaspora in America was doing. And so it was like a 360 kind of event and networking as well. But 2021, we were actually going to do it back in the UK. And then I had an interview on my show with the Nkosuohene of Ejiso.
Okay.
Who
is that a TV show or radio show?
all my TV shows. So I have a TV show on it used to be on DSTV, Fox Life Africa, but now it's on YouTube.
Okay. What's the title of it?
Dentasho.
Dentasho.
Yeah. Okay. So I interviewed him about Nanaya Santwa, mm-hmm. and he mentioned that this was in 2020. He mentioned that next year is 100 years okay. since she died. I was like, what? Oh yes. My goodness.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh. And she's like, you know, no one's really doing anything for her, blah, 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 blah. So at first we were going to do it in the UK. But then, you know, with the COVID, we just didn't know how
it could pan out,
how things were going to go. So when we entered 2021, he was still like, you know, what are you going to do? So we were still like, okay, we'll do it in the UK. We'll still celebrate Nanaya Santwa. But it just, I was saying to my team, it didn't feel right to do it in the UK. I was like, it needs to be done in Ghana.
Mm.
And we bring people from all over the world to come and celebrate her in Ghana. And so that's how it happened. And it kind of delayed a bit. We literally put on the awards within 2 months. trying to look for the sponsorship, trying to, you know, contact the awardee. So we just had to do, usually some of our awards are voted for categories, but we had to do all Black Star awards. So we had to go to our board and look, who would you nominate for this so that we can quickly do some research. You know, we've got a research team of university students that we use
mm-hmm.
To do the research for us. And so we quickly had to put, you know, I felt that, you know, she wasn't being celebrated in Ghana. I was like, wait, it's 100 years of this amazing woman who fought the Brits for the Golden Stool. Through her, we gained independence because Kwame Nkrumah was able to do what he did. But this woman played such an amazing
role.
And it's like we're almost forgetting her. And it's 100 years. So quickly, you know, had to get people on board to put it all together and reward women who represented Aya Santwa,
mm-hmm.
women across Africa from Rwanda, Egypt, Nigeria, to honor them mm-hmm. and celebrate Nana Aya Santwa's story within the award setting. And make sure that everybody came in their traditional, you know, either kente or African print to really honor this amazing woman.
Yeah. Wow. And that you pulled that all off in 2 months.
Yeah. And we organize it within a year. So now we're planning the next one.
Year.
But it just happened that, you know, things were delaying. We wasn't sure what we were going to do. And then decided like, no, needs to be held in Ghana.
How many women were awarded?
We awarded 15 women.
15. And how many from Ghana?
Ghana, we had about 6 from Ghana.
Oh, wow. That's a big number.
Yeah, we had 6 from Ghana and the rest from of the world.
Can you talk about maybe one of them?
So we had the new vice chancellor for Legon University. Mm-hmm. She was awarded. We had 4 market women that we awarded.
Oh, good. So it's not a bougie affair. It's like...
No, yeah. We don't do bougie. Okay. We do real hardworking uh-huh. people.
Okay.
So we did market women.
Because, you know, they've always been at the forefront of anything. Yeah. You know, even Kwame Nkrumah, without mm-hmm. the market women, he wouldn't have gone where he mm-hmm. went.
Without the market women, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have food to eat. They go to the farm.
I'm also talking like in a political sense.
Yeah.
They've always been a very serious
Absolutely.
Force to
Absolutely. I mean, I'm looking at this picture, whether it's Makola Market or Kijitia Market.
Yeah.
But that's where...
That's
where things happen. That's where money is made.
Yeah.
And it's a very important role that they play.
Yeah.
And so we honored a woman from the Northern Region Market. We honored a woman from Kumasi, Accra, mm-hmm. you know, so just, mm-hmm. you know, bringing all of that together, which was very important for us. So, yeah, those are the type of women that we honored.
Excellent. I'm really happy about the market women part, because those ladies are...
Absolutely.
I mean, it's quite interesting because you think of, like, feminism and all the different discussions around it, but Those ladies are like the hardcore.
Oh my God. I mean, they wake up, one of the women, all of them, I'm sure, wake up at 4 a.m, get their children ready for school, go to the market, work till whatever time, come back home, cook fresh food for their children to eat. And are just, you know, strong women. You know, some of them, they said, look, they had either they lost their husband or whatever. They've got 8 children and their children are doctors, lawyers, very prominent people in society. Yeah. And you just think, you know, they're market women, but they're very important people in our society. And we wanted to raise that and wanted to recognize that they are Yasantwas of our time. And so, yeah, that's why we honored.
Because like women. Even when you're talking about the waking up at 4 o'clock, just think of your average wachi seller. They're up at 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
To feed all of us.
In the mornings. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, a couple of weeks ago, our guest was called Ivory Prosper. She's a multi-talented woman, also the social media manager for the Year of the Return and Beyond the Return. You were there at the genesis of it. How did you get involved and what was your role in birthing this?
The Year of Return. Yeah. So I'm on the Ghana Tourism Board. And so, you know, as part of the board, you know, the president had announced that, you know, after 400 years of slavery, he wanted to really get people in the diaspora, especially African Americans, to know that they have a home in Ghana. And so he, you know, we launched the Year of Return to get people to come back. And it, I think we were ready, but we weren't ready because it was just like it. Every media in the world covered this. And so many people, over 1 million people, came to Ghana.
I mean, all the stars who were...
Every star that you could think of. T.I., Beyonce's mother.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Steve Harvey. Like, it all was those, just...
Yes, I mean, everywhere you looked, Ludacris was...
Everywhere. It was just...
And Boris Kujo.
Just so many amazing people. That came in. And even the ones that we didn't know... you know, who don't have names also came in, you know, going back to the slave dungeons, going back to the last bar, Fassim Mansour, all of that, just to reconnect. And we've had so many people that have returned. I mean, I have interviewed a few people from the US and they came to the Year of Return and they haven't gone back.
Have they got their papers in order?
They have not got back, you know, and it's just amazing how they just reconnected back to Africa and they love it, you know. And so
because I saw images of people who'd even brought the ashes of maybe parents or grandparents who died that they could just bring them back.
And it was I think for the African Americans more of a spiritual thing, right? Reconnecting back, bringing the ashes, as you say, you know, it's more of a spiritual journey for them. The Joseph story of coming back, you know. So it's been an incredible time. And even in 2020, when we thought COVID in December, so many people came to Ghana.
Like already they're trooping in.
Right, I mean, we had the mayor of New York coming in for that spiritual journey before he starts in January. So people are still coming back. And that's why I think he named it Beyond the Return, beyond the Year of Return, you know, still come back, still, you know, visit us.
And then, I mean, also the other thing is, because like I had a friend who married a Ghanaian. She's African-American. She did her DNA test, or, you know, a lot of people do. And she was literally 90% Fula from Guinea.
Wow.
But the thing is, Ghana is like the magnet.
Yeah.
But once people start investigating, it's like, well, there's also other parts of Africa.
Yeah.
And your blood connects you to but obviously they need a gateway to come through first, and it's not everybody that Ghana is going to work for.
Absolutely.
And so you try here, and if it
doesn't work,
thing,
you just
you know you can check out somewhere else.
I think when I went to Miami, I had a conversation with somebody and about the year of return, and then he was like, you know, for us it's like Ghana has invited us. They've never had an invitation. So this is like their invitation to come back.
Do you need an invitation?
They felt like, you know, they've got no connection. You know, they've got no connection with anybody. And so if somebody's saying, you know, come, you are welcome. Mm. For them, that was so significant for them that, you know, that they responded to.
Okay. Because, well, I mean, I've lived in Cuba and Brazil, and obviously their own is Yoruba culture, mm-hmm. and they really retain a lot. You go to places in Brazil, they're speaking old-time Yoruba. They wow. haven't dropped it. And one of the interesting I found about particularly the islands and even on the Latin continent, Black people are like, yeah, I know I come from there. That this is my home. Mm. Something that I don't think African Americans have the luxury of because of the environment they're in. And then also, I think the islands had the luck of Ghanaians, boom, Jamaica. So they know, you know, Cuba, Yoruba people, and some Senegalese, you know, those places. Whereas America was like a staging post. They just mixed everybody up. And everybody just lost.
Yeah.
Lost everything. So I get that. For me, I've always found that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That those the others are like, yeah, I recognize it.
Yeah.
But loads of friends in Brazil who give their children hardcore Yoruba names. But they don't have any plans of setting foot in Nigeria. It's like, I understand. It's a part of me, but this is
where I am.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
But as I said, the African Americans don't have the luxury of that because of the kind of environment they find themselves
absolutely.
In. Yeah. Okay, you had your TV show. That was it like a talk show?
So talk show, so interviewing. So I started off doing TV presenting on OBTV on Sky when it first came out. And so dentist show, basically what I did is I'll come to Ghana and interview people that we don't get to see. So there are Joa Smart, Mami Dokno, Ajako, you know, all of those people. And I'll take it to the UK and put it on OBTV. And then later on when we started Gooba, just, you know, interviewing those people that we had awarded to just hear their journey and hear their stories.
Yes. It's like an extension.
And then after that, we've did the diaspora transition conversation. So interviewing the diasporans that I was talking about who have returned and their stories and why they returned and how they're finding it and will they return back, etc. So that's a bit about the TV show.
Okay, nice. Yeah. And so producer, you produce an actress too.
So I used to do acting. So I was on EastEnders. I was
really
I was doing like what's it called extras. I was doing extras for EastEnders, Holby City, and I got a part in Judged on Deed. I don't know if you remember Judged on Deed, but yeah, so I was an extra, and then the director saw me. He was like, oh, we need an actress to play the daughter of this woman. You're in court and your brother gets sentenced and you need to cry. You're going to be able to cry. This is your lines. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, why not?
I'm in for it.
And I remember, I think I was like 17 at the time. And I remember I cried. And then when I got paid, I was like, what? They should call me anytime to get
cry for you. Do you want me to cry now?
I was like, what? This is it. So yeah, I was doing that. That was like one of my loves as well. So acting, singing, all of that, presenting was, you know, one of the major.
Wow. I'm sitting there and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, does she secretly get 48 hours in the day to like do all the things that, you know, she's doing? Is there something that the rest of us don't know about? Because like you pack in a lot.
Yeah, I pack in a lot. It's about balance. It's about balance, you know, and I schedule my day.
So Oprah is about balance.
No, it is. You know, I God has given us so many talents, and I've actually just used, I think I've made sure that every single one that he's given me, I've done something with it. I'm not going to let any of that go for anyone. Yeah. And, you know, we only live once, as they say. Exactly. And so I've made sure that all of the great talents that he's given me, I use
them. But you've just found a way because you have a family and, you know, and then all these other amazing stuff that you're doing to be able to juggle all of that.
Absolutely. I mean, when it's time for family, it's time for family. The phones are somewhere and, you know, you're concentrating on those children, you're reading to them, you're doing whatever it is that you're, you know, you have to do as a parent. And when it's focused on Gooba, it's focused on Gooba and then the rest of the stuff. So
nice. So where will Gooba be 5 to 10 years? And how it would impact, because you know Ghanaian women are incredibly entrepreneurial. I don't know the percentages, but seriously entrepreneurial. Yeah. So obviously Gooba is
Gooba wasn't just for women. So it's only this year that Nanaya Santua, we honored women, but we honor
of course,
everyone, children, like kids, whatever, like both sexes, should I say. And but how I see Gooba, I see Gooba as, you know, Africa's Grammys or Oscars, you know. And I feel that's the angle that we want to take it, and that's why we do things with excellence. The type of people that attend the awards, the type of endorsements that we've had, shows that we are on the right path. And just, you know, just doing things with excellence, and just, you know, trying to get to that level. I remember at first when we first started, we were searching for sponsors. But now, you know, sometimes you get calls that, oh, when are you doing Gooba? We want a sponsor. So that shows that, you know, slowly.
But I mean, even the first one you sold out for. Yeah. So already it's like you were starting up there.
Yeah. And it's about getting the right team to support you and that see the vision. Once they get the vision, then it's easy to.
And then
move.
Also, if it's something that they also feel here.
Passion.
Yeah.
They have to be passionate about. And they're passionate about Africa. All of my team members are. Yeah. They're passionate about Ghana and where they're from and how we portray ourselves as a people. So I think that's what's been key for our success so far.
Okay. So someone wants to make a move to Ghana. Ghana, UK diaspora to Ghana. Or Ghana out, because you know both sides. What advice would you give them?
I think for me, I took that opportunity, and I feel like the Western world is already developed. There's nothing more else that we can do, but we have a great opportunity to develop our own Africa as we want to see it. And if you come to Africa, you see all these different nations that are here. And so if you think about why they're here and how long they've been here and their money that they're making here, it's like you can also make it here, right? With every challenge or every, with every challenge, there's an opportunity. So I think that, you know, I always encourage the diaspora to look at the opportunities back in Ghana, in Africa, because we see the Chinese here, we see the Indians here, and they've been here for many years. The owner of Belakwa, met him a few weeks ago, you know, and he's been in this country for so many years.
I mean, I think they came sort of towards, at least towards the end of the 18th century.
Yeah, they've been here and they've been doing stuff, you know. Yeah. So I think there should be nothing that's stopping us from coming and at least seeing, okay, the opportunities. And I always say that, look, not like you said, like somebody in Brazil, they're like, yeah, we know about Nigeria, but we're not going there. But I feel like somebody in the diaspora, you can either mentor, you can invest, you can mentor somebody, you can just have conversations and just try and develop, you know, relationship, whether it's, you know, outsourcing some products, some shea butter products to somebody in Brazil or somewhere that, you know, that connection. And not forgetting our history and where we're from. So I think that's, for me, come and see. Because sometimes seeing is believing. And I always say that, you know, sometimes you can sell the Goober Awards as much as you want, or your event as much as you want. But when the person comes and sees, that's when they're like, oh, okay, what you've seen on paper is actually different.
Yeah.
And then the connections that you bond with, you know, different experience.
Stereotypes
of things
in,
exactly. My son, when I brought him first here, my eldest, who's 13 now, but when I brought him to Ghana, I think he was about, well, when I had him, we spent a year here, but when he was like, got to know, you know, what Ghana is, you know, he was about 7. He kept on saying, you know, they talk in that Africa, we drink muddy water, we, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, it's not like that. You know, there are bad parts in every country. It's just that I want is, you know, more exposed, because he sees the Oxfam adverts on TV as well. And there's like flyers flying around, you know, a child and stuff like that. So when he came and I took him to Kempinski, and I took him to this place and I took him to that place.
He
and
saw
then I took
the other
him,
side of he what saw, he'd been hearing about.
The other side is like, Mommy, I love it, you know. Can we come every year?
Mommy's like, but we can't live in the Kempinski.
Yeah.
We can't live there.
But, you know, this shows you that, you know, we have some amazing, beautiful places here. And then, you know, so, you know, the pictures that they paint, is sometimes not true.
I remember the first time I went to Jamaica and we landed and I was like, this is Ghana. I mean, the weather, the vegetation, everything. And I remember when I went back to the UK after summer holidays, went back to the UK, and I was talking to my Jamaican parentage friend, none of them who have been to Jamaica, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh my God, Jamaica's just like Ghana. I mean, like when you go to Negril, it's like you've arrived in Kumasi, because the people look like
it.
And these people were so offended that I could compare an African country to Jamaica, because obviously they're living in a situation where their minds have been told that this is this. And then there's somebody who's been to Africa, who's been to Jamaica, saying, well, actually it's the same thing.
Yeah, you know? you're right. I've had a lot of Jamaicans that have said that, oh no, when I came to Ghana, it's so many similarities.
Yes,
so
it seriously is.
Yeah,
it seriously is. And even when you hear like the Anansi stories, you know, the folk tales, and even the food. I mean, you go to the northeast of Brazil, these people are eating fufu and gari, and you're like, really?
Wow.
You know. So the similarities are more, but the focus is always on the differences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I went to Costa Rica as well, it's the same thing.
God, so
I went
to, place.
Yeah, yes. And you know, meeting the black people there, and it's surreal. There's so many similarities.
I mean, people carried things. Years ago, went to Suriname, and the black people. At least the one taken from Ghana, from the Krobo people. And they're there telling you their stories. And we're like, yeah, we know you're from Ghana. And so it's really nice exchanging those stories. Okay. Manny, social media. Where can people learn more about, you know, the Goober Awards? And then even, let me just double back a bit. Can people nominate people? I mean, obviously, you have your people doing research, but I could know somebody doing something amazing somewhere and think, you know,
yes. Oh, no. That happens. It was only because we did it in 2 months that we just needed our board and our judges to
come on something quickly.
Yeah. But usually people nominate, so we open up nominations. So we will do next year. We'll open up nominations for people to nominate, and then we do the research. So the team does the research, and then we cut it down, and then we give it to the judges to
go through. Yeah.
That's the process.
Okay, so let people know, you know, websites, social media, so that they can be keeping an eye on, what's happening.
So you can find me on Denta_show on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook, Denta Show. And our website is Guba Awards for the awards, or Guba Enterprise for the whole enterprise and the stuff that we do.
Okay.
And then Guba Foundation, that's GUBA Foundation, or Guba Awards.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And all too soon, we've reached the end of the show. So thank you so much. Thank you, because I know like you're super, super busy.
No, and the fact that thank you for having me.
You've taken the time to.
I really appreciate it. I think my last thing that I will say is a quote that I stand by, which is by Nelson Mandela. It always seems impossible until it's done. We often have images of things that we want to do, visions, and sometimes you can look back and you're like, oh, actually I did do it, you know. And you know, when you're thinking about it, you're like, oh, how am I going to do this? And that happens to us each and every time of Guba. How are we going to do this? But you look back and you're like, wow, we did it.
Well, you
it
have
and we
to
did
take
well.
The first step.
You have to take the first step.
Take the first step. Okay, so thank you. For that last nugget of wisdom you dropped in there. Again, perfect. Thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
And thank you, the audience, for tuning in for this journey of African excellence.
Thank you.
We are on africaradio.com. We are on Twitter and Instagram at AF Global Radio, Facebook, Africa Global Radio. And of course, you can send us a WhatsApp on +233 2070 64680. Arts Africa is brought to you by Africa Global Radio. Now, we, the Arts Africa team, we want to wish you a wonderful Christmas. May the day be filled with peace, love, and contentment. My name is Alba K. Subrin, and we are signing out with another Christmas classic, Feliz Navidad by the great Boney M.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.